Merry Christmas, Village Community Church. How's everybody doing? All right, if you're thinking right now that you've already had too much to eat and you're filling out your chair more than you did on Sunday, we've got the chairs closer together, all right? So no worries. Go ahead and eat that ham when you get back. Thanks for coming. When you plant a church in an old schoolhouse, there's not a whole lot of traditions that you hold to, but we certainly hold to Christmas Eve as one of our rituals here. We love to come together as a community of believers and focus on the best gifts we get all year, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to hear a great message tonight from Pastor Jeff, and I just want to encourage you to kind of set aside what's about to come and really focus on worshiping him here tonight. And so when you came in, you sat down, there was a candle. We're going to use that later, but there's also a connection card. This is just our way of staying connected with you. If it's your first time here, please let us know about anything you'd want us to know about you. We'd be glad to stay connected with you. Any prayer requests you have, those kind of things, we'd be glad to pray with you. So a second mention is we take the last, to give our volunteers a week of rest, the last week of every year we take off. So next Sunday, the 29th, we will not be meeting here, okay? So take a rest. Let's hear it for our volunteers. They do a great job all year. Rest. And then also, we'll be coming back here January 5th. Our Sunday services here, our normal services are at 11 o'clock. So if you haven't been here before, we'd love to have you back. And we'll start back up January 5th at 11 o'clock. So let's pray, and then we'll ask Jeff to come up. Heavenly Father, we love you. Jesus, first and mostly, we thank you for your gift in coming to here. And that we get a chance to worship you tonight. And Father, I pray for the service. I pray that every word that Pastor Jeff would speak would be directly from your Holy Spirit, inspired by you, landing exactly where you want it to land, and that God's lives would be forever changed. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Merry Christmas, everyone. Woo! All right, I like it. A little energy in the room tonight. That doesn't always happen on Christmas Eve. I know sometimes we come to a Christmas Eve service and we get all kind of orderly and stuff. I mean, I tucked in my shirt today. I haven't done that since last Christmas Eve. I feel like untucking it. I'm not going to. I'm going to see like the whole service with my shirt tucked down. But this is a good night. It's a fun night. Tonight's a celebration. So don't let the Christmas Eve and kind of the aura tonight fool you. We're here to celebrate. So you can hoot and holler all you want. And hopefully I actually expect it to be hoot and hollering because we got great news tonight. We got a great thing to be celebrating because we're here to remember just of God's great love for us. We're here to remember to celebrate the greatest gift of all, which is the salvation that we can find in Jesus Christ. So tonight is a celebration. I hope you guys are here ready to have fun. Kids, it's awesome to see you in here. It doesn't happen very often, but I love having the kids in the service. Kids, are you excited to be here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't expect that. Are you excited for tomorrow morning to open gifts?
Yeah.
Woohoo! So am I. I cannot wait to see what I got. Andrew, did you get me something good? He said, yes, I can't wait. And tomorrow's going to be exciting. Going to open gifts. I can't wait to watch my kids open gifts tomorrow morning. But as Kevin said, as I said, you know, we're here to remember the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus Christ. And so let's take a moment. Let's watch this video. It kind of recounts the Christmas story to us. So go ahead and watch this video.
This is how Jesus Christ was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before they married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. All this took place to fulfill the Lord's promise through his prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. At this time, Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. And everyone went to his own city to be registered. So Joseph had to leave Nazareth in Galilee and travel into Judea to Bethlehem, which is also known as the town of David. He went there to register with Mary. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That night, there were shepherds living out in the fields near Bethlehem, keeping watch over their sheep. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Now after Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, some wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The star they had seen in the east appeared again. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and the star led the wise men to the place where the child was. As they arrived, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell to the ground and worshiped Jesus. Then opening their treasures, the wise men presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so Christ the Savior was born. He entered the world not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for you.
All right, that just saved you 5 minutes of listening to me read the scripture. So, yes, woo, I like it. Keep it up, Jordan, keep it up. I'm picking on you later. So I want to focus on one part of the story, and I want to make it clear that when I say story, I don't mean fairy tale. I know we just watched an animated video, and sometimes you hear this over and over again, and you forget that this is a real story, that for 2,000 years, millions, probably billions of people have come to believe that what you just watched is real and true, that all those events happened exactly as that video is shown. But I want to focus in on just one point of that story here tonight. And before I kind of reveal what that is, I want to ask you, does anybody know, especially kids, you guys know who Where's Waldo? Anybody know Waldo? All right. In case you don't, Tracy, put that first slide. Waldo's that guy in the bottom right-hand corner, I believe. He's got red and white stripes. And they make some kids' books, and you're supposed to find this character of Waldo on the page, and the pages are usually full of a bunch of stuff, and they make it really hard. So I'm going to test you and see if you're good at this. All right, put up the next slide, Tracy. I'm going to give you 15 seconds to find Waldo. Go. Man, you're good. Yeah. All right, got a couple people found Waldo. Keep looking. Rob squinting in the back, I see that. Those glasses aren't helping, my friend. 5, 4, 3, 2. Tracy, show them where Waldo is. Upper right-hand corner, there's a yellow circle. There's Waldo. Who found him? Raise your hand if you found Waldo. Man, I should have made it smaller. You guys are good. But I got a question for you, and this is going to set up the point of the story I want to talk about. Have you ever asked yourself, or have you ever said out loud, or maybe you just thought it, "God, where are you?" Have you ever thought that, "God, where are you?" You know, when you sit in your cubicle at a job that you hate, have you ever said to yourself, "God, where are you?" Yes, when a loved one passes away or when your health fails you, have you ever thought, "God, where are you?" When your parents don't seem to care about the stuff that's important to you, or you study really hard for a test and you can't get above a C, do you ever ask yourself, "God, where are you?" When your spouse turns to you and says, "You know what? I don't love you anymore." Or there's not money in the bank account to pay rent at the end of the month. Have you ever thought or said, "God, where are you?" And maybe those aren't words you've said to yourself, "God, where are you?" But I think for a lot of us, and I know it's true actually for all of us, that we live that way sometimes. See, whenever we have all this fear in our life, whenever we're worried about something, you know, that thing you can't stop thinking about or worrying about, really what are we saying? We're saying, "God, where are you? God, how could you leave me like this? God, how could you do this to me? God, where are you?" And the good thing about the Christmas story that it answers that question for us. God, where are you? The answer is found in a little baby sitting in a stinky manger. That's where we find our answer to the question, "God, where are you?" So if you're asking yourself tonight, or you're living in life where you got fear and you're worried about something and you're confused about your future, you don't know what's next, the answer to the question, "God, where are you?" is, God is with you. God is with us. And that is the essence to the Christmas story, is that, God is with us, Emmanuel. See, in those highest of highs in our lives, in the greatest accomplishments we have, that's when we feel like God is with us. But you know what? In the lowest of lows, in your greatest failures, God is with us. God is always with us. And this is kind of the fulfillment of Jesus coming into this world. That baby in a manger is the fulfillment of the promise that God is with us. And I'm going to explain this, and this gets a little confusing. Most of this is simple, but Jesus is his name, right? The little baby in the manger, who is that? Jesus. Awesome. Man, Huntley kids, you are going to rock tonight. I'm going to you. Jesus. We all know that little baby in the manger, his name is Jesus. But there's a guy named Isaiah who 700 years before Jesus was born talked about this. He talked about that day when Jesus would be born in a manger, but he talked about him having a little bit of a different name. And see, you got to understand that back when Isaiah's time, when he walked this earth, that names kind of were used to describe people. Let me give you an example of what I mean. You know, my old job, I had a boss. You know what I called him? I called him the Big Cheese. I liked him. He was a great boss, but it's a nickname. Hey, Big Cheese. Whatever the Big Cheese wants, the Big Cheese gets. But his name was David. But I described him as the Big Cheese. And so 700 years before Jesus was born, this prophet Isaiah said this. It comes from the book of Matthew, which is the friend of Jesus who watched Jesus' life. And this is what he says. He said, all this took place, and that's the Christmas story that we watched in the video, all that took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That day, over 2,000 years ago, when Jesus entered the world, the fulfillment of that promise came true. That God is with us. See, Jesus is different than anybody else who's ever been born. We can't forget that on Christmas. These smart people who study the Bible, they're called theologians, okay? They call what happened on Christmas morning when Jesus was born, they call that the incarnation. And all that simply means is that the God of creation entered this world and made himself man. And that's what we see in Jesus, that God came down, he took on humanity, and that changed the world forever. I mean, we tell time by that. Is it AD? Is it BC? That moment in time when God entered this world through the person of Jesus Christ, God with us, changed the course of history. And it changed how you and I relate to him. And so tonight, I just want to share three things with you that what is the significance that God is with us? What's that going to mean for me when I leave this room here tonight? What that's going to mean for me in 2014. So I got three things. If you regularly come here to the Village, you're probably used to right now say, flip over your bulletin, fill in the blanks. Well, you don't have a bulletin today, so I don't have fill in the blanks for you, but I got 3 points for us to get a grasp of just how profound it is that God is with us. And I encourage you tonight as you listen to what I have to say that you make it personal, that it's not that God is with us, right? But God is with you. I want you to wrestle with the reality that today, in this moment, even when you leave this room, and tomorrow when you wake up in the morning, that God is with you. So what's the significance of that? The first point is this. God's not hard to find. He's not hard to find. If God is with us, he's not hard to find. You know, I didn't know that for most of my life, and some of you may not even know that. See, I was searching for God for most of my adult life. I went to Ohio State. I graduated from Ohio State, lived in Columbus for some time. I moved to a place called Martha's Vineyard, an island off Massachusetts. I was looking for something to satisfy me. Didn't find it there. I moved back to Columbus thinking that maybe if I saw things in a different way that I would find this thing that I was looking for. It didn't work. I moved to Boston. Didn't work. I moved back to Columbus. My whole life I spent trying to go from place to place to find that thing that fulfills me and satisfies me. And what I didn't realize, but I do now, is that all that time, God was with me. That I didn't have to go on this search exploration for God, that he was right there. Because God is with us, what do we need to do? We just simply need to acknowledge him. And that's what the scriptures tell us. We don't have to run after and try to find him. We just have to acknowledge his presence in our life. Why? Because he's with us. Let me share a couple scriptures with you that talk about that. First is the book of Revelation, and that's a great Christmas Eve book to go to, the book of Revelation. This is Jesus speaking to a church in a town called Laodicea. So he's speaking to the people in that church, and this is what he's saying to them. He says, here I am. Again, God is with you. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. But Jesus is saying to the people in the churches, you know, not only am I with you, I'm trying to make myself known to you. I'm not being quiet. I'm not being silent. I am knocking. I am knocking on the door. And he goes on to say, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. God is with us. God is making himself, trying to make himself known to us. What do we need to do? Jesus is saying you need to open that door. What I'm saying is you need to just acknowledge him, acknowledge his presence in your life. And that's exactly what the writer of Proverbs says. Listen to this, and this one's on your screen. And I want the teenagers in the room to listen to this one, and I'm going to circle back around if I remember at the end of the service on that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean into your own understanding. First off, I don't know if you ever have found that to be a bad idea. I did. It took me 31 years to figure that out. But anytime I lean into my own wisdom and my own understanding, it doesn't go so good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean into your own understanding. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. Why? Because he's with you, and he will make your path straight. Do you have that person in your life? We all have that person where you feel like you're always talking to them and you're trying to get their attention, but you seem like you can't get it. You're like, if they would just listen to me. Do you have that person in your life? Anybody? If you're married to them, don't raise your hand. Don't nudge them. But we all have that person. We're like, if they would just acknowledge me, I would be okay. And how does that make you feel? It makes us feel like we're not important, right? That we're not wanted, that the person doesn't care what we have to say. And I don't say this to make any of us feel guilty, because God is bigger than that and he doesn't need our approval. But think how God feels when he's with us and we don't acknowledge him. He came into this world so that we could know him and be known by him, because he is with us. And like I say, we're not hurting God's feelings when we don't acknowledge him. And some of you may be thinking, Jeff, I do acknowledge him. And I challenge you in every area of your life. Do you have those hidden little parts of your life that you don't let God in? Maybe it's those things you struggle with that you feel like God can't be a part of. Well, guess what? He is, because he's with you. There's nothing we can hide from God. He is with us. So what do? We acknowledge God. We acknowledge his presence because he is with us. But here's the cool thing. It gets even better. Okay, God is with us. But this is what Jesus says, you know, I am with you today and I will be with you always. God says, I will never leave you. I came 2,000 years ago to be with you, and I promise you, I'm making a promise, a solemn promise to all of you that I will always be with you. The writer of Hebrews couldn't have said it any clearer. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I don't know if it's on your screen, but God said, never will I leave you. And never will I forsake you. What a great reminder this Christmas that God will never leave you and God will never forsake you. And then Jesus said the exact same thing. And these are almost the final words of Jesus. He had a few moments to talk to his disciples, those people that were going to go change the world. And this is what he said to them. And most of you know the first part of the verse, but we always miss the last part. This is what Jesus says. So these are some of his parting comments. He goes, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And you're right, that's the Great Commission. But then he closes with this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What a great promise. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm with you today. I'm going to be with you tomorrow. And no matter how lonely you feel, and there's some of us that feel that way, you're not alone. You're not alone. God is with you. no matter how much you believe or think that no one gets you and no one understands you, you're not alone. God is with you. No matter how far, and I want some people to hear this, you think you've fallen, no matter how far you think you are away from God or how far you think you've fallen, God is with you. You are not alone. And then some of us really need to hear this tonight, and you may be set free. No matter how independent you think you are, no matter how much you think you have it together, you are not alone. God is with you. Now, some of you, if you're tracking with me, and if you're one of those folks like I was for most of my life, I only went to church when I went, not very often, but I went on Easter or Christmas. So I knew the Christmas story and I knew the Easter story. So maybe you're thinking, if you're one of those folks that go to Easter and Christmas, you may be thinking this, well, Jeff, didn't Jesus rise from the grave and then go back to heaven? How is he with us? You just read a scripture that said he's going to leave and give us this great commission. How is God with us if Jesus is no longer walking on this earth? Well, this is it. Jesus said, you know, I am leaving. And he said, it's a good thing that I leave, but you know what I'm going to do when I do leave? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. I'm going to send the Spirit of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, three persons, one God. He says, I am going to send the Spirit of God to be with you, and he is with all of us here tonight. He's with you when you're going to leave here tonight. But the good news and the incredible news about that if you're here tonight and you're a follower of Christ, which means that your faith is not in yourself, but the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that not only is God with you, but God is in you. The Spirit of God, the moment you cross that line of faith, came to live within you. You cannot get any closer to God than you are right now in some respects because he is in you. That is good news, isn't it? Someone say amen, please. God is not just with you, but God is in you if you are a follower of Christ. And I want to start closing with this. And Yas, if you want to come up with the band here, make your way up. The Apostle Paul, a great person who loved God, who did many things for the kingdom of God, he got it that not only was God with him, but that God was in him. He wrote most of the stuff we know about the Holy Spirit, but these are some words that he wrote, and I want us all to hear this good news tonight. Because God is with us, all things are possible. Because the Spirit of God is living in you, all things are possible. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians 4:13. He says, I can do all this through God who strengthens me. Other translations just simply say, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And I want to challenge you tonight and encourage you on the same hand that because God is with you, all things are possible. And so what does that mean? A few things I want to share before we go back to some worship. And I speak to the kids first in the room. Kids, because God is with you, what does that mean? And all things are possible. You need to dream big dreams. You need to have big dreams for your life because all things are possible through you. I want you to hear that. You know, my hope, and Sarah's, our hope for our kids is that they will dream bigger than we dreamed. That they will go to do more things greater in the kingdom than we could ever think or imagine to do. And kids, you can do that because God is with you. And I also want to say this to some of the kids in the room is what you see tonight, the way you see your life today, it doesn't mean it always has to be that way. You may have a different picture of what your life's going to be than what your reality is right now. And I'm saying that can happen. Not because you're special, but because the God who is with you is. And you can dream big dreams. To the students, the teenagers in the room, I want you to know that God is with you. You are not alone. And I know these years and those teen years and those student times, you tend to think that no one gets you and no one understands you. I'm here to tell you that God does. You look into the future and say, what is life going to be like 5 years from now? And you cannot get a picture of it. You can't grasp it. I'm going back to Proverbs. Thank God I remembered that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When you acknowledge the presence of God in your life, he will give you the revelation of what your life is to be. So teenagers in this room, you're not alone. God is with you. And I also add this to it. You know, in these times of your life, sometimes it's hard. You're trying to figure out who you are. And I would say, let the God who is with you give you your identity. Let him tell you who you are, not tell your friends to tell you who you are or the world to tell you who you're supposed to be, but the God is with you. Let him define who you are and what your future is going to be. Adults in the room, God is with you too. There should be no defeated person in this room. There's no such thing as a defeated Christian because God is with us. Hopelessness should not exist for a follower of Christ because God is with you. There's no relationship that cannot be restored. There's no marriage in this room that cannot be redeemed. There's no addiction that cannot be broken. Because God is with you and all things are possible. I look around this room and Vance, I love you. And I see people like Vance and Jordan, thank you for that. Woo, hollering. They are living and walking proof that all things are possible. So maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, that can never be me. I can never have a marriage that is restored. I can never be free from this addiction. I can never have a community that loves me. I can never be a part of something that's bigger than myself. And I say that's a lie because God is with you and all things are possible through God. And then church. It's almost here, right, guys? We know change is in the air. But God is with us. And because God is with us, greater things are yet to come. And I'm telling you by the witness of the Holy Spirit that greater things are yet to come. That God is with us. That right now, even as we sit in here in this auditorium, the Spirit of God is moving throughout this community. Chains are being broken. The oppression is being lifted. A fresh movement of God is coming. Revival will be here. God is with us, and all things are possible through him. And all of this stuff I've spoken about tonight, all of it is possible because 2,000 years ago, on one holy night, the Son of God entered this world. He took on flesh. He grew up to be a man who died on the cross for our sins and brought salvation to anyone who put faith in him. All that is possible because on that holy night, God of this world came down to be with us. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And because I am here, all things are possible. So right now, guys, let's stand. Let's worship God. Let's declare how awesome it is that God is with us.